We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. That fucking sucked. Scott, hi.
What's up? Yeah, that wasn't good. That was really bad. Clark Schmidt was put in a situation that you could just feel was not going to end well. It was just you could feel it in your gut. You could feel it in your gut when he was spinning those balls. And you know what? He didn't make a bad pitch either. He did not make a bad pitch. He made some damn good pitches to, you know, the guys he was facing, and then that last pitch to Gonzalez was on the outside half of the. It was on the outside half of the plate. It was a good piece of hitting, and unfortunately, he got beat. But that moment, man, you could just feel it. You feel it coming up. You could feel it coming up.
Yeah, anyone blaming Clark Schmidt there is an idiot. I mean, you don't blame Clark Schmidt in that situation. He's put in a position to basically play Houdini, and that's an impossible task. There's so much to unpack from this game. Obviously, the way it started is kind of a flip of the Friday game, where the Yankees have all the momentum early in the Friday game. The Guardians had all the momentum in the early innings of this game, and Severino was 30-something pitches in the first inning. Long second inning, it looked like he wasn't going to make it out of the third inning with the way he was going. But he settled in. He limited damage. Guardians left guys on base. They did get a couple hits, but nothing really too damaging. It's 2-0 game, and Judge hits the home run, and boom, okay, we're alive again. It completely flipped. But when, and we were talking about this before we went live, when your bullpen is as thin as this Yankees bullpen is, and especially if clearly, Clay Holmes was not available.
If Holmes is not available tonight, yeah.
Then how are you? How is Boone sitting there managing the late innings of this game the way he did? If you have identified beforehand, basically, I have three guys tonight, right? I have Trevino, I have Loaiza, and I have Wandy. Those are the three guys I'm going to try and get through this game with. How do you leave it up to Wandy to get all those outs? How?
That's the thing. When you Trevino pitched to what one batter, Loaiza got pulled, and in the middle of the Loaiza looked really good. Loaiza looked really good, and you absolutely, and I understand that Peralta, Wandy is the guy to go against the lefties, to go against the top of that order. But Loaiza was pitching well. I had
then
all the
why
confidence
not
in the
save
world.
Trevino?
You got to stay
why
with
not,
him. Yeah.
Why not bring Loaiza in?
But it's and save Trevino. It's and save Trevino. Because if you only have three guys, if Holmes is not available, and you're looking down the barrel of Wandy Peralta for three innings, basically two-thirds innings, or Clark Schmidt, then yes, you need to have one of those three guys available.
Trevino replaces Severino and gets the last out of the sixth.
He
gave up the single
to make it 4-3 and then got the last
Brennan,
out.
Right, because Brennan pinch hit and then he got Straw out. Straw hit the ball hard. He lined out to Glaber.
Okay, so hold on. That was the other problem that I had. Severino, who got stronger as the game, as he does, right? He's done this time and time and time again. The difference being in this game, I had it. I was talking on Twitter about this as well, and in my head, after that second inning when Severino gave up a couple line drives to the outfield as well, he did not look good. He did not look good in the second inning. If Judge does not hit that home run to make it 2-2, I think there's a very good possibility that Domingo Germán comes in and starts the third inning.
He was warmed up.
But as soon as Judge hit that home run, it makes it very different. There's a little bit more of a leash. Then you let Sevy go back out there and see what to do on a very short leash at that point. But when you and he was cruising when they pulled him out, and you got Miles Straw coming up. You Severino can't get past Miles Straw. You have to bring
It would have been two batters because they pinch hit when Trevino.
It was Brennan. They were bringing in. Yeah,
Brennan comes
in. Still,
and pinch
hit. No. Severino. I don't give a shit what the pitch count was. Use your eyes and see what the man was doing. The man was pitching very well. He was pitching the best he had pitched practically all day. He started using that changeup. He started using that changeup after the second inning, in the third inning, and it was good. It was very good. I think he threw one changeup in the first and then didn't throw it until the third, but started using it effectively and found his thing, as Severino has done many times in the past. But going back to that first point, if you only have those three guys in the back of the pen, you can't bring Trevino in right there and then he's burned for the bottom of their lineup.
No. Basically Boone managed the game like he only needed five outs and he needed nine. He needed 10 outs. So it's like another option would have been instead of bringing in Trevino to get the last out of the six, bring Loaizaga in and then let him face the top of the order after that. Because clearly they've identified that Loaizaga, they're comfortable having Loaizaga face the top of Cleveland order. It's the second day in a row that they've done this. Okay, Kwan, Rosario, Ramirez. So if he's going to face those guys anyway, and you have only three guys in the pen, have him face the end of the Cleveland order in the sixth, start the next inning at the top of the order, then you go to Wandy when that part of the order comes up, and then you at least have Trevino in the back as some insurance. I mean, it's just another option. That's all. It's like the bottom line is this bullpen is just so goddamn thin anyway. That does any of this even really matter?
Like, here's what it comes down to. Here's what it comes down to. I was trying to explain this to my dad earlier. Like, they have assigned roles for these guys, even though they don't call them the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys. You know, they view Trevino as a fireman. They want him to come in with runners on base. They deem that he can do that. Wandy, they've shown it. I think they've done it in all three games so far. In all three games so far, he's come in to face Naylor, whoever's in between Naylor, and then the second batter, and then Jimenez. That's his lane. That's when they don't care when that is.
But here's the difference. Holmes is not available. You're down.
Right.
It's
weird. They didn't manage it that way, but they stuck to their plan. Like, all right, well, we want this guy to face this. They obviously want Loaizaga to face the top of the lineup. But then it was like they were left stranded because they didn't have Holmes, which I don't know. Maybe Holmes blows that game. Maybe he doesn't. But like, you knew you didn't have Holmes. So why didn't you like plan to not have Holmes? It's like they didn't know they didn't have
that. That is the second guess is whether we want to say Holmes should be available or shouldn't be available in a postseason game is a whole other issue, right? If he's on the postseason roster.
Yeah, if we're not able to use him back to back. And I mean, that's going to just screw this team considering they don't have any more off days, especially if they continue to play on, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, like he did confirm that
in the postgame
available. In the post game, just so
okay. Weird. Then manage like
only
he's
in an
not
emergency.
Available.
What does he consider? He used the word emergency. What does he consider an emergency?
Extra innings, like the Astros and the Mariners. Yeah.
So it's like position player or Holmes.
I get it. Like he's on the postseason roster.
He's available in an emergency. He should have been available then.
Because Clay Holmes for every other day is still probably better than the last guy out of the bullpen anyway. But still, it's like, what are we expecting from this team if you've got to get through multiple postseason series with fewer off days than is normal, and you don't even have guys that are available in back-to-back days, and you really only have three or four high leverage guys you even trust to put in those spots anyway. Like,
yeah, I think you. I think doomed. I saw. I saw you tweeted it, I believe. You gotta mash. You gotta out hit everybody.
Yeah.
You gotta put up a billion runs. And that's just, you know, that's not the way the postseason
is. It's not gonna happen in the postseason.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen against the Guardians pitching staff. You're not gonna score 9 runs off the Guardians pitching staff. What you scored is pretty much the most you're going to score off the Guardians. And the only way they're scoring is home runs. Fine. Like, this Yankees team hits home runs, but you get the 2-run homer from Judge. You get the 2-run homer from Cabrera. You get the solo shot from Bader. If that's not going to be enough, then you're fucked. You're screwed.
Bader comes back and gets that run back with that huge home run. I mean, at that moment, you're looking at it. Okay, like, look yourself in the mirror moment. Bader comes right back, gets the run back that was just given up. Great sign. Looking good at that point. Like, you got an immediate response, but then just the, you know, as the ninth inning is building and building and building, and they take Peralta out, you know, the shift also, the base hit, that's 3 bloop base hits that the Guardians have gotten late in the games in the last 2 games that fell. And, you know, if that shift isn't happening, that's an easy just fly ball.
I mean, Cabrera's inexperience in left field.
The other thing about
before we get to IKF, Cabrera's inexperience in left field also.
Yeah, why didn't they defensive replace him? I just am curious. They defensive replaced him in the regular season in left field. They put him in left field, and in close games they were defensive replacing him. Yeah. Why is Aaron Hicks on this roster? Why is he there? They didn't use him to hit Frilly Castro. They're not defensive replacing Oswaldo in left field. Why is he there? It doesn't even make any sense. He's a non-player. He's a empty body. It's so ridiculous that he's there.
You might as well have another arm.
You might as well put Peraza or put another arm. Exactly. It's lunacy. It's ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense. They should have put a one-handed Benintendi on before Hicks, if that's the case.
Completely agree. If Cabrera is not going to be able to make those plays because of inexperience in the outfield, you absolutely have to put defensive replacements in for him. Yeah, I was frankly surprised Hicks was not starting today. I thought they were going to turn to him because that's what they've done in past postseasons when the young rookie that they trust to start the first and second game starts to struggle and they immediately fall back to the veteran because that's the easy answer. So I was actually pleasantly surprised they put Cabrera in there and he got 2 hits, including a home run. But
I don't know if you guys heard what they said about Hicks after yesterday's game. Because they asked him why he didn't hit Frilly Castro. And his answer was, well, he's a reverse splits guy, which he's not. It's a lie, but okay. And it just doesn't even make any sense. And they just said it's a wash. They literally called LeCastro, who they gave like 20 at-bats for his right-handed pitching to, a wash to Aaron Hicks, who's a lefty, who is just a better matchup because he's lefty-righty.
I think they talk themselves in circles on some of these things. I mean, the reality of the situation is none of them are good options offensively. LoCastro is not a good option offensively. Hicks is not a good option offensively. So you've got 2 guys there. LoCastro's there to run. I don't know what Aaron Hicks is there for. Legitimately, I don't know what he's there for.
And Marwin? Just another body.
First base. Marwin's there as a backup first baseman.
Marwin's there for infield when you
Matt Carpenter have could play for his base if they wanted to.
Look, I want to talk about IKF. IKF made two bad plays today that I mean, you could absolutely argue cost this game because of the first one. Obviously, he botched the nailer line drive, ground ball, whatever the hell you want to call it. It was in between. He was he second guessed, didn't make a, you know, wasn't assertive on the play, didn't make the first step, but just couldn't make up his mind on it and got eaten up by the ball. And then that second play, he made a nice backhand, and then he does this, like, you know, takes his sweet ass time with the ball, double clutch, extra step, whatever the hell you want to call it, and makes an errant throw that Rizzo did save, but Jimenez, I think he was running, beat the throw. That's a timing play. That's something that IKF has to know in his head that, one, who's running, 2, get rid of the goddamn ball and make a good throw at that point. Like, you finish the play. That was another position that 2 plays now that extended it and affected the pitching as well. And yeah, man, his defense is absolutely been submarining this team in the playoffs. It's been terrible. It's been terrible. I've been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt the entire year, just because I'm, you know, waiting for this guy to do something. But my God, did he hurt this team today in a big way. He made a nice play in the ninth inning, you know, flying over there to save a run. Didn't matter at the end of the day. But those were two plays that absolutely should have been made. Jimenez should not have beaten that ball out. There's no way. You got to make that throw. You got to get rid of the ball. His internal clock was off. And then the one that ate him up in the first inning was just inexcusable.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was actually surprised to see some people on Twitter saying that's a tough play. The is in between hop. You can't assume that play is going to be made. I'm sorry. Every major league shortstop should make that play. If you're a starting major league shortstop, you should make that play pretty easily. It's not necessarily like an easy play, but if you're a starting major league shortstop, you're one of 30 starting major league shortstops, you have to make that play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're making that play. You're right. It's not an easy play. It's a ball that comes off the bat weird, and it's a little bit of a knuckleball, so it gives you a different look off the bat, but you still need to make that goddamn play. Shortstops in the major leagues need to make that play.
Yeah.
The ball was hit right at him, essentially.
And he's obviously not going to be producing offensively. So if you're not catching everything at shortstop, you really have absolutely no value. But at this point, they're riding or dying with him. So, I mean, if people are still calling, like, oh, make a change, put Marwin in there, like, since Peraza's not on the roster, put someone else at shortstop. Like, it's not going to happen, people. Like, this is, for at least the rest of this run, this year, IKF's the shortstop, so let's just hope he doesn't cost them a run tomorrow night.
What did you think about Severino coming back? What did you think about them staying with him and him? Even in the third inning, he was getting lucky. He was leaving fastballs over the middle of the plate, yeah. And I know nine in a row, something like that, in the middle of that game. Fourth inning, I thought, was his best inning. He looked really good in the fourth inning. I had a note here. That's when he started mixing up the changeup, and he started hitting the corners with the fastball. But even in the third inning, he was leaving it over the plate. So
yeah, the third inning, he had a 1-2-3 after the Judge home run, and that obviously was a big momentum shift. He was very lucky. The team is very lucky that it was not a 5-0 game after the first two innings, because it very easily could have been. And obviously the IKF non-play in the first inning didn't help him, but he was still getting hit hard. And I said this after game one, Kwan, he's a freaking pain in the ass, and he leads off the game. He has a 7-pitch at bat to start the game, and he ropes a double. I think he roped a ball after a 7-pitch at bat. You're like, okay, this is the tone. That's the type of pain in the ass he is.
And yeah, he's definitely one of those guys. He's a damn good hitter, and he he doesn't strike out. Like all of these guys put together ridiculous at-bats. Those at-bats against, you know, Severino too. I mean, you know, foul ball after foul ball after foul ball. They're fighting up there, running his pitch count up. And that's what put him in a position where after the second inning, I think he was at 56 pitches, something like that. And if that game's 2-0, like, okay, you're waiting for Seve to come back. I know, but you're waiting. So like the upside with Seve is that, you know, he can fight through this and be, you know, be dominant at times when he comes back and finds it. Problem with this is that his pitch count was so high that there wasn't a ton of upside. Like, to his credit, man, he fought back and he definitely had some good innings and some innings where he got out under 10 pitches. So
yes, every inning after this first two innings was economical. I think if Judge does not hit that home run, you're right, he probably doesn't come out for the third inning. But Judge ties the game and he has a 1-2-3 third inning. So then they're at the point where we're just riding it until, you're almost kind of going batter to batter, or, you know,
they did go batter to batter with him. They went batter to batter with him, and he just didn't allow a base running until that sixth inning. Went three perfect innings.
Exactly. So that's why they were riding it, because it was working, and he really got into a groove. Another thing that annoyed me, because I just saw it in the notes. So we actually talked about this after the second game. Like, are they going to move Judge in the order? So they shift around the lineup. Gleyber leadoff, Judge two. They drop Cabrera down to the nine hole, and Higgy's in there today. I mean, fine, whatever. If you're going to keep the same players, it's kind of like, fine, just order them however you want. Like, as long as Judge is getting a lot of at bats, Rizzo's getting a lot of at bats, and Stanton's getting a lot of at bats. But why is Gleyber Torres getting more at bats than those three guys? That's asinine. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, who should lead off then?
Rizzo.
He's going to say Rizzo.
Judge, or Rizzo.
I hate Rizzo.
Why? He works the count. He works deep pitches, and he gets on base. Gleyber Torres has no approach at the plate, okay?
No, he walks up there first pitch swinging, and then what's the point of that?
First pitch swinging. On the first
pitch of the game. Let's let Judge settle into the two spot, first pitch swinging. Is it,
like, if he's going to be stupid enough to not know to take a pitch, then you have to tell him, you're leading off the game. We move this specifically to get you on base ahead of Judge. Take a pitch. He should not be hitting ahead of Rizzo, Stanton, and Judge. Those are the three guys you need to get up.
Here's the difference. When you have Judge in the two spot and you have Gleyber in the one spot, he's trying to jump on the pitcher knowing he's going to get a fastball, and he did. He didn't find a hole for it. You get Gleyber on base. Gleyber's on base. Now it's a different at bat for Aaron Judge. So
yeah, obviously,
you're just trying to change it up.
Ahead all of Aaron season Judge, long, it's a different at bat for Aaron Judge. That's
all
not
season
the
long, they've been insistent. Another thing they've been stone cold consistent on is the fact that they like Rizzo hitting behind Judge. They like Rizzo as a protection for Judge. That's simple. What they want.
I
like it too. I like it too. But I'm
Judge lead off and bat Rizzo second and Stanton.
You know, I didn't have a problem with them lead off. The only stat that kind of persuaded me was that Judge didn't. Today was Judge's first at bat, the one when he hit the home run with a runner on base in the series. Like, yeah, it can't happen. It just can't happen.
That's so, because they had Trevino and Bader
hitting ninth. Bader was hitting ninth. Right, okay, so today they had Oswaldo.
Yeah.
Right. So they put a better hitting ninth is what you think they should have done as opposed to moving
Judge. It's much ado about nothing. This whole thing is much ado about nothing. You're switching a guy 1-2.
Like, it's much ado about nothing.
They lost. It doesn't matter.
It's mostly the lineup is mostly to do about nothing. I understand that. But when Gleyber Torres, in theory, is going to be getting more at bats than Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, and Giancarlo Stanton, that's stupid. That's just stupid managing.
Okay. Well, you know, for baseball has been traditionally going that way for decades and decades of putting your best hitter not in the leadoff spot.
Bob Costas has given us the full historic rundown of baseball in the old days.
With his, with many seven or eight letter words. He's annoying.
Yeah, he's really fucking annoying.
He's bad, bro.
And like, what's his name? Ron Darling's just sitting there, like, just like openly rooting against the Yankees, which I really do not care about. But it's just like he's calling a different game. That Bob Costas is in his own freaking world, and Ron Darling is just there, like, rooting against the Yankees. It's just a terrible podcast.
Let me make you guys more mad for a second. they spoke to Clay Holmes after the game, and his quote was, he was surprised that he was not used tonight. He said his arm was fine.
He didn't even know it.
He woke up today anticipating that he was going to be pitching today.
Oh, because it's the playoffs. And if you go down in this game, that's bad. That means you have an elimination game in Cleveland the next day. So, of course, you're expecting to pitch. You're on the roster.
Hold on. Do we think this is Boone lying to save his ass?
You know what?
Saving his ass for what?
To save
face. What's he saving his ass for?
But Clay Holmes has been bad.
He's not the only one who doesn't know these. Everybody behind the scenes in the dugout, in the clubhouse, they know the real reasons. He's not saving his ass to anybody. What? To save face with the media? It looks stupid anyway. Either way, it looks stupid.
So why is Clay Holmes saying he thought he was available and Boone is saying, no, he wasn't available? You don't tell a pitcher you're not available tonight, or you're only available in emergency situations?
Yeah, Boone's supposed to be a player's manager. He's supposed to be a good communicator.
You needed two outs, which is what they've been doing with Holmes. And according to them, Clay Holmes is a historic ground ball pitcher. He is the ground ball pitcher in that bullpen. He throws a million mile an hour sinker. He should be able to throw a ground ball and get that double play that they needed, and they wouldn't use him for two outs, which is what they did in games one and games two.
Even in a perfect world, you get Clark Schmidt getting a ground ball. It's probably like someone beating the ball into the ground, high chopper, you know, tough play, tough opportunity to turn to. I mean, the kid was just put in a tough situation, like an impossible situation, really.
Right. Nobody's knocking Clark Schmidt.
Can I tell you another thing that was pissing me off all night and had nothing to do with the actual game on the field? The freaking Astros go 18 innings, and that game's on TBS. I don't have a freak normal cable here. I'm using the apps. I'm getting the game on Apple TV on the apps, right? Okay. TBS, it took me an hour to turn the captions off, the freaking subtitles the other day. An hour. It was driving me insane. And then because the stupid Astros are playing, the game's not on TBS. They put it on TNT, and I'm in the same fucking position with the subtitles, and I can't get them off. All game, I got subtitles. The whole time I'm watching this fucking game with subtitles on. And then finally, in like the ninth inning, 18-inning game's over, and I go to the freaking TBS broadcast, no subtitles, and then that shit happens. Fuck. It was painful. It was painful.
And meanwhile, all you wanted to do was watch Blades of Glory or whatever the hell Will Ferrell movie was coming on next.
Bullshit.
Let's talk about game four. Gerrit Cole basically needs to pitch nine innings.
Yeah.
He needs to be perfect, though. I don't even care if he doesn't pitch nine innings necessarily. If he pitches 70, they got to be scoreless. He's just got to pitch scoreless because, don't forget, they didn't use any of their big relievers today. The Guardians.
Oh, the Guard. I was like, wait a second. The Yankees, the Guardians. Yeah. Right.
Classe is available.
Karinchik and Classe are both going to be available.
The other guy, Stevens, I think his name is.
We know it's going to be a low-scoring game, right? Because like the Guardians pitching staff, you're not going to score 8 runs off of the Guardians, okay? So we're going to be dealing with a 2-2, a 2-1, a 3-2 game at some point in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, right? That's what the situation is going to be. So everyone just prepare for it. Gerrit Cole needs to just nut up and pitch 8 innings. 8 innings. Leave Boone one decision to make. Tomorrow night, one
shouldn't be even a decision to make. It's Holmes, but this feels so awfully familiar to 2020. I don't know if you guys feel that as well.
I'm not making any comparisons.
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't feel the same because the Yankees bullpen is just thrashed right now, and that's the biggest difference from any playoff team I can remember. Their bullpen is just decimated. There's nobody out there besides, like, Loaizaga is the guy that I trust absolutely the most. There's no doubt about it. Like, he looked very good tonight. You got to get more out of a guy like that. He's a guy that's certainly capable of going 2 innings.
On Loaizaga, him and Wandy will both become, they'll be available because it's an elimination game, but it'll be the third day in a row for them. So their effectiveness, in theory, will be less on game four.
Not to mention, even if they win, then what? I know we'll figure it out when you get there, but I mean, it should be talked about. I mean, then what? You're going to use these guys a fourth day in a row? I mean, your best chance of winning the series is you got to go out and against one of their pitchers and score like 10 runs. Literally. That's their best chance.
Logan, let me tell you something. I was all ready to come on this show before they blew it in the ninth inning and talk about how Gerrit Cole needed to nut up in game four and not allow a game five so the bullpen couldn't implode on itself. Now, you hope there's a chance that the bullpen implodes on itself in game five. That's the scenario that we're in. Okay?
Well, that's what it's not good. Game five would be a bullpen game.
Yes, I know.
Basically. It's scary. I mean, they just fucked themselves. Like,
it's going to be a Domingo Germán game.
It's going to be the one we'll talk about for years.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. And I have a weird feeling if it gets to a game five, I don't know if they're going to start the kid that they started tonight or if he'll definitely be available. He only threw about 75 pitches. I noticed they had a quick
McKenzie,
he's definitely going to be available in some capacity, you'd think.
In an elimination game, which would only be game five for Cleveland, yeah, everyone will be available except Quantrill, who's pitching tomorrow night. But Bieber will be available. McKenzie will be available. All of their bullpen arms will be available. Yeah.
Yes.
So you get to a game five. Do you, Severino, maybe?
Yes. Yes, he's available in game five. The only guy that won't be available is Gerrit Cole. So do you think they do anything different with the lineup other than Trevino catching? Does anyone else different play?
This team right now is in a position where they are very, very, very top heavy. There's not a lot of things that you can do to improve this team that's sitting out there on the bench. You're not getting a spark from Tim LoCastro. You ain't getting a spark from Aaron Hicks.
Hold on. What about Stanton and left?
Carpenter, maybe.
Stanton and left. DH Carpenter.
Fine. Cabrera at short.
Cabrera at shortstop. Oswaldo at shortstop.
I don't think they're playing Cabrera at shortstop.
I think there's a better chance that they put Cabrera at shortstop and Hicks in left field. Just so they can say we want to get another lefty in the lineup, because you know that they'll use that and say we put Hicks in left field and Oswaldo at short, and that'll be that, and then they'll have IKF as a
it's potentially the last game of your season. Stanton could and should be playing the outfield if it means we can get a better bat.
So you can get Carpenter in there, yeah. But when's the last time
they asked him that today? They asked Boone that if he considered that, and he said, "I have not considered that this series about putting Stanton in the outfield."
When's the last time he played the outfield? He hasn't played the outfield since he's come back, right?
But before the playoffs, they talked about how they're going to get him work in the outfield it's a possibility for the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm not talking about Carpenter in the outfield. Carpenter is not playing the outfield. Like Carpenter,
I'm talking about Stanton in the outfield.
I know. Logan just said Carpenter too. I'm saying Carpenter is a non-issue, non-thing out there. But you get Stanton out there, and then yes, you get another bat in. I think that's a fine move.
It deepens the lineup. You can put Carpenter.
If they're not going to do it, Stanton's not going to play the outfield.
Yeah. All right.
It's like they don't have very many options besides who they're rolling out there, and then the depth in the bullpen is dog shit. So these injuries are putting them in a very, very precarious situation right now.
And we all know the reason that Peraza is not on this roster is so that it's not an option for tomorrow. That's why he's not on the roster, not because he's not the best option. They just don't want it to be an option. They don't want the question of, well, maybe you should start Peraza at shortstop. They want to protect their baby. They that love IKF the way they love Gary Sanchez. Oh, it is so
not true. You are letting your brain take over your brain, and it's making you a little crazy. Making you a little crazy. There's too much conspiracy theory in that thought.
How is it? They don't use Hicks for anything.
So, yeah, Hicks has no purpose on this roster. I agree. But Peraza, had they played Peraza down the stretch, because like the last 2 weeks of the season, Peraza didn't play, right? So had he been playing in those 2 weeks, then I'd agree with you, Logan. It's like, why isn't he on this roster? And maybe it would be for that conspiracy theory you just raised, which I'm all down for conspiracy theories. But they basically, he was never going to be an option. That wasn't decided before the play. That was decided a month ago that he wasn't going to be an option.
Do you think Peraza would be a better option than Hicks on the roster?
Yes, of course.
Hicks, there's no point in Hicks right now. So why is he not? So why is he not there instead of Hicks?
I mean, I don't. You're talking to two people that agree with you in that. Yes, there's no. There's Aaron Hicks should not be on this roster. I think everybody who's a Yankees fan, everybody who watches this team agrees with everything we're saying about Aaron Hicks not being on this roster. No one. I don't know a damn person that could argue for the other side of that
until he's leading off playing left field in game four.
Well, then Aaron Boone will be the only person who can argue for that. And his reasonings will be asinine.
The fact that Oswaldo had a good offensive night means that won't happen. But
Yankees were 167-0 in postseason history when leading by multiple runs.
By leading by what?
By multiple runs. Yeah. Mariano Rivera. Like, okay, got it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Aaron Boone's last night as the New York Yankees manager tomorrow night?
Oh, I would be so happy. I'd be so happy. Like, yeah, there's no chance. If he wasn't fired after last year, if he got an extension after last season. Okay.
That's what they do.
He's not going
anywhere. No point to the Braves and the Dodgers on the brink of elimination.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up this abomination.
This was supposed to be a fucking win.
This would be a good episode. I was so excited.
It was going to be a great playoff comeback win. It was going to be Judge finally.
Get the piss out of that. What was it? 450? Yeah,
Judge finally getting off the schneid. Judge finally like silencing his doubters who were like calling him not a postseason player. My dad. Got 700 texts from him.
Come on.
It was going to be a very exciting comeback win. And it was still going to be problems with the bullpen heading forward. Like, those problems were not going to go away. But if there's a win, you have a cushion and you at least can be happy about the win and then trust your ace, in air quotes, to get the win tomorrow night. Now you have to get the win just to stay alive and somehow piece game five together. Let me ask you this. If they do get to a game five, is it just like coin flip, all bets are off, or is it are
for what?
Are,
what do you mean, guys?
For the Yankees winning, like if Cole wins tomorrow and they
are you asking me my confidence five, level again? My confidence
no, I'm not
level,
your confidence level. But like the way that we've been talking is that it doesn't even matter if they win tomorrow because they're screwed in game five.
I don't think they're screwed in game five. If that's the case, it's going to be an ugly game. But you go against this team. Look, Cleveland's scrappy. They what, five singles in the ninth inning to do it. They're completely the opposite. They're a complete contrast to the way the Yankees score right now. So can they put together an ugly game and hit a couple home runs and win it? For sure. Absolutely they could. Could Domingo Germán come out there and throw five scoreless innings? Yes, he could. He could absolutely do that. So I know. I don't think it is a problem. Whoever's dinging, that's a lot of shit. But what he needs to do, Gerrit Cole needs to nut up, as you said, throw 8-9 innings tomorrow. I need a complete game out of this motherfucker. And then let's win ugly in game five. But they can do it. They can certainly do it.
Okay.
They got to scrap some runs across tomorrow to get that bullpen working. Cleveland's bullpen working, too. So then they're not in such a power position for game five either, if they do win tomorrow.
Alright,
well, we're supposed to sweep this series, remember that?
We'll be back at it again after game four. Talk to you then.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.